All right. So In Heavenly Places, page 326, if you actually have the book. And it's titled To the Glory of God, November 15th. Okay. And it says that the name of the Lord, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's, of course, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 12. She says, it is our duty to be very jealous of the glory of God, and bring no evil report, even by the sadness of the countenance, or by the ill-advised words, as though the requirements of God were a restriction upon our liberty. And by the way, the word jealous here is used in a good context. It's just like with God is jealous towards us. But when you have people with corrupt minds like Oprah Winfrey, when she saw the word jealous, that our God was a jealous God, she thought that was a bad trait for God and decided to dump Christianity. But now she's claiming she's a Christian and she's always been one. I mean, she goes back and forth. In other words, either she lied about the past or she's lying about the present. It's hard to figure, but it's a godly jealousy. Yeah, amen. And but the pastor, I guess, that was sharing that, because she was in a church at the time. She was a young kid still. I mean, a teenager maybe, in her 20s or so. And she heard it. And people, you know, they misunderstand it. It's not as bad. It's nowhere near like it is when people are jealous. Yeah, you have, but people can also have a jealous, a good godly jealousy towards God Himself as well. You're very protective of the truth, and you know you'll defend the faith, kind of a thing, you know. So, but yeah, that's more or less what it means, Alex. You know, you're concerned for the truth that is mentioned in the Word, and you're there to, like a Minuteman, you're there at a moment's notice to defend the Word. Like someone says, oh, the Bible's a joke, it says this, and it says, no, it doesn't really say that. You're, you know, if you read it before and after that Bible verse you took out of context, you'll see that that's not the meaning. Yeah, amen. Not of envy, but of concern. Yeah. So anyway, she goes on to say that the whole person is privileged to bear a decided testimony in every line, in features, in temper, in words, in character, that the service of the Lord is good. And some of us have issues in some of those areas, and that's why we are still concerning ourselves, striving out of that perfection, and praise the Lord for it. Continue to strive, and hopefully we'll all be part of that Gideon band. But she says, God loves His commandment-keeping people, because through their obedience, they give honor to His holy name, testifying of their love for God. Which reminds me, hold on a second, let me get my email here. And let's see, early Christians. I was in study every day. And I happen to read something here in the book of Acts, which is after the cross of Christ. Now, you can use this on the street, and it should work well, or in email, or on the phone, or whenever you guys are evangelizing, or you girls. And because how often do we hear that the Ten Commandments were abolished at the cross? They say Christians don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. Well, then, if that's the case, they're going to have to explain Acts chapter 21. I think it's 21. Let me get... I can zoom this up. Hold on. I want to get another glasses. Why is it over there? It's not letting me zoom it. Oh, well. I have to get another pair of glasses. Yeah. It's 21 verse 20. And verse 21, I think I'll read. Yeah, 21 and or 20 and 21 of chapter 21 of the book of Acts. It says this. That's why I emailed it to myself this morning. It's nice when I get these reminders. It says, and hearing it, they gave. And that's of course following from the previous verse, but it says they gave praise to God, and they said to him, "You see, brother, what thousands there are among the Jews who have the faith, and they all have a great respect for the law, and they have had news of you, how you have been teaching all the Jews among the Gentiles to give up the law of Moses and not to give circumcision to their children and not to keep the old rules." So it covers all the bases there. It shows you that you still should keep the Ten Commandments, and it shows that the ordinances aren't the same as the Ten Commandments. It's talking about the old rules here, that Colossians chapter 2, verses around, I think, 14 to 16 on down there. I think it's 14 and then to 16. It talks about the commandments contained in ordinances that were nailed at the cross. And this is what he's getting at here in verse 21. And I just thought that was amazing. That I mean, I've read it hundreds of times, I'm sure, over the years. I've read the Bible every morning, 30 years. And so I've read that before. But I like the way it pops out every now and then, so that's why I emailed it to myself. But it goes along with what she's saying here. And then this is why, she's speaking about the Christians, and of course, and saying that God loves his commandment-keeping people. But anyway, she goes on to say, our faith and intensity of zeal should be proportionate to the great light which shines upon our pathway. Faith, humble, trusting faith in God, in our homes, in our neighborhood, in our churches, will reveal itself. And here's this is weird. I don't know why this thought comes to mind, but a lot of people have strong faith in their homes. They have a lot of faith in their neighborhood. They don't have any faith in their church. or they don't have any faith when they're at work. Or they don't have any faith whatsoever when they're driving on the road. Yeah, people pick areas to have their faith. You got to have faith on the moon. You got to have it everywhere. It's just, you know, when you're scuba diving even. I mean, it's just faith everywhere. But anyway, she says, the Holy Spirit's working will not, cannot be hindered. God delights to reveal himself to his people as a father, as a God, in whom they can trust implicitly. When the farmers seek to recommend or exhibit their products, they do not gather up the poorest, but the best specimens. The woman possesses zeal to bring the very best golden lumps of butter, molded and prettily stamped. That's, of course, back when the days when butter wasn't so bad for you, as it can be today. And she says that the men bring the best yield of vegetables of every kind. The very best and most attractive fruit is brought. And their appearance does the skillful workers credit. The variety of fruits, the apples, the peaches, apricots, oranges, lemons, and plums, all these are very attractive. No one would bring the most dwarfed specimens, but the very choicest which land can produce. And why should not Christians living in these last days reveal the most attractive fruit in unselfish actions? Why should not the fruit of the commandment-keeping people of God appear in the very best representation of good works? Their words, their deportment, their dress should bear fruit of the very best quality. By their fruits, Christ said, you shall know them. Let the church members have the precious traits of the character of Christ. So amen and amen.